Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, garbage in, garbage out is a phrase commonly used in computer science, meaning if you don't put quality stuff in, you won't get a quality result. The same could be said for the human body. So if you wanted to eat the best stuff possible, what superfoods should you turn to? A registered dietitian joins us with her top 7 picks.
But first, part 2 of our discussion of water with Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, one of the nation's leading experts on the effects of water imbalance in the human body. Last week, Dr. Goldfarb shattered the myth that drinking 8 glasses of water a day is essential to good health. If you didn't catch that interview, it's available on iTunes and on our webpage at WRVO.org.
This week, Dr. Goldfarb separates fact from fiction with regard to water consumption. Dr. Goldfarb is professor of medicine at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania with a specialty in renal electrolyte and hypertension. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Goldfarb. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
When we're told by people to drink a certain amount of water or to make sure that you're at least having water throughout the day, maybe especially in a hot climate, at one time they said caffeinated beverages like coffee, tea, and soda actually cancel that out because it acts as a diuretic. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, they're very, very weak diuretics, if at all. And I think the effect of caffeine can make you feel like you have to urinate a little bit more frequently. But when it's been carefully assessed, the diuretic effects are very, very minimal. There may be a very small effect of it, but it's very, very minimal on those agents. And I should say that this issue that drinking water promotes health has been looked at over and over again. And when I say promotes health, it means if you start drinking more water versus someone who drinks very little water, are you going to be alive in 15 years? Are you going to have fewer episodes of heart disease? Is there going to be less evidence that as a population of people who ingest more water, they're going to be healthier than a group that ingests less water? You know, this has been studied over and over again. The most recent study just came out in the past few weeks from a very large trial in Australia, where many thousands of patients were studied over 15 years to see if those who self-reported that they drank lots of water compared to those who self-reported that they drank very little bit of water using very careful screening questionnaires had a difference in their health, and they could identify no difference between those people who drank more than 3 or 4 quarts of water a day compared to those individuals who drank substantially less than 2 quarts of water a day. So, you know, really, there's just been no convincing long-term study that wasn't of such a strange population that you couldn't really interpret it, that has shown a long-term benefit of drinking water.
I remember growing up as a kid, two situations in which I've been told to push water. You have a cold and you're told to drink plenty of fluids. I don't know, maybe I think to myself, oh, that'll move the mucus along. Or we're going to get a blood test and we get the idea that if we drink a little bit more water, it'll be easier to extract blood from our veins. Any science behind those?
Well, let me talk a little bit about how water leaves the body, and then you can see the issues with cold. So water leaves the body through really 3 routes. One is obviously through the urine. That urination allows the excretion of extra amounts of all kinds of constituents that you take in, minerals as well as water. The other way you lose water is through your skin. Now, everyone is aware of losing water when they sweat, but there's a phase prior to sweating that is associated with water loss as well, and that's evaporation. So that's water becoming a gas really on your skin and leaving your body as evaporated water. And that's insensible. People don't appreciate that that's going on all day long. In a hot environment or when the body temperature is elevated, such as might occur when someone has a cold, that loss of water through the skin is accelerated. So it's true that individuals who have fever will tend to have more water loss than individuals through their skin than individuals who have a normal body temperature. But does drinking lots of water improve mucus flow? It's unlikely. It's not really ever been carefully looked at, but it's quite unlikely. And in terms of drinking water in order to have your blood drawn more effectively, that's just wrong. That's not true. again, you'd have to drink so much water so rapidly in order to have any influence at all on the flow of blood through your veins that it would be even a dangerous situation to try to achieve that. So that's another myth.
Is it possible to drink too much water, and what can happen if you drink too much water?
Well, unfortunately, it is possible, and there are several circumstances in which that's happened. I think perhaps your listeners were aware of this poor child that was forced to drink water as a punishment by her parents and died from it, and this was in the papers. So if one drinks too much water and drinks it too rapidly, you can overcome the ability of the kidneys to excrete water, which is quite robust, but it's finite. So if you drink about a quart an hour, you're able to excrete that comfortably if you have normal kidney function to begin with. If you get above that, you will start to get into what we call positive water balance. And that water, as I mentioned before, distributes itself throughout the body into the cells as well as into the bloodstream and areas between cells. If it gets into the cells of your brain, those cells start to enlarge because they're taking up more water. And your brain is encased in this hard skull. So if an individual drinks a lot of water very rapidly, there's the risk of brain swelling, and brain swelling is obviously a very dangerous event, and it can lead to coma and even death. The condition that occurs is called hyponatremia, which means a low level of sodium in the blood, and the reason the sodium level in the blood falls is because it's diluted by all this extra water that's being ingested. So there are examples of individuals who, if they drink too much, too rapidly, can actually develop a very, very dangerous clinical condition called hyponatremia. We see it under a few circumstances, and I'll just mention these. One is it's a known side effect of people who abuse, I guess everybody who takes ecstasy is abusing it, but ecstasy, the drug, is known to induce an intense desire for thirst as part of its psychedelic effects. And young people have been known to develop severe hyponatremia, brain swelling, because they have this, you know, intense desire to drink, which is really not based on their physiologic needs, but based on this effect of the drug. Another example of people who have developed severe hyponatremia in a dangerous way are people who are marathon runners, who are not very good marathon runners, take, you know, 5 or 6 hours out there to run the marathon, and drink too much during the race. And the combination of extreme exertion plus drinking way too much water, thinking they have to keep themselves hydrated during the race, has also led to hyponatremia and this condition of brain swelling. And that's very common in marathon runners who drink too much water. So the people who organize marathon events have put into effect strict guidelines about how much water people should be drinking during the race. They're much safer to avoid drinking lots of extra water than to maintaining levels of hydration. So the answer is yes, you can hurt yourself, but you have to really drink lots of water very rapidly under very unusual circumstances like marathon running before this becomes a real issue. And again, the reason for that is that the body is very efficient in getting rid of extra water because there's no need for it. And in fact, it is potentially dangerous to the organism, and you need a good mechanism for excreting it, and the body does that very efficiently.
Is there anybody who shouldn't drink too much water? Are there certain medical conditions that warrant limited water consumption?
Yeah, there are. And these are people who, generally people that have conditions known as inducing edema. So anybody who has severe swelling of their legs or the condition of retaining fluid fairly easily, they're at risk of drinking too much water. These are people with heart conditions, particularly congestive heart failure, people with severe liver disease who have liver failure, and patients who have severe kidney disease. These are individuals who will have particular trouble excreting water. Their kidneys won't behave normally, and that water will be retained and, again, can produce the risk of brain swelling. It's usually people with very advanced forms of these diseases that get into this difficulty because, again, there's quite a bit of reserve of the kidneys for excreting water. But at some point, they can start to overwhelm that reserve capacity and start to retain the water and develop that brain swelling problem I mentioned.
Dr. Goldfarb, for people who are trying to consume a minimum amount of water throughout the day, they've tried to make it a little more interesting by adding flavor to their water or even having carbonation, you know, carbonated water. Is fizzy water equally as hydrating and as good for the body as still water?
Yes.
So the carbonation doesn't have any role on like hydrating.
No, now we're into marketing issues rather than any real fundamental effects. And it's quite interesting that Mrs. Obama started a campaign about drinking more water, which I think was aimed at trying to reduce the amount of sugary beverages people consume. And substituting water for sugary beverages will lead to weight loss. It will lead to reduced caloric consumption. Unfortunately, she tried to make the case that there was something specifically beneficial about water compared to drinking anything else. And there really isn't. It's just you won't get as many calories in as if you drink water compared to drinking fruit juices or drinking non-diet sodas. But there's water in many foods. If one eats a diet that's filled with fruits and vegetables, there'll be lots of water added to the body because of the amount of water in those commodities. On the other hand, if one eats a high-protein diet, you're going to tend to need to consume more water because there's some obligate losses of water through the urine with those kinds of diets. So the diet will influence how much water that you'll need to take in order to maintain and replace those obligate losses each day. But drinking it as coffee or tea or sodas or fruit juices or water, it's all the same, and it really doesn't matter, again, except for the fact that drinking lots of sugar-containing drinks may have adverse effects. And there's also been concerns about high fructose intake and as having potential adverse effects to induce various metabolic conditions like making diabetes more likely and so on. But in terms of the fluid content, it's all the same.
You've just given us ample scientific and medical evidence as to why a normal amount of water consumption, drinking when we're thirsty, is what we should be doing instead of pushing all of the, you know, 8 glasses a day, 64 ounces, half our body weight in ounces. And yet you have public figures, well-intentioned public figures, like Michelle Obama, who's pushing initiatives, you know, healthy eating, but she also makes claims about water. How is this for you as a scientist and researcher to hear this and to realize that the public is perhaps being misinformed?
Yes, well, I have commented upon many of these initiatives. It's unfortunate because you never want the wrong information to get out there, and somewhat frustrating, you know, because drinking normal amounts of water is really safe without real consequence and is something that everyone is used to doing. It's taken an aura of effectiveness that really, again, has no basis. So it's frustrating to hear this. On the other hand, there's no question that somebody drinking, you know, an extra quart of water a day over 24 hours is not producing any harm. They're not producing any benefit. They're not producing any harm. So therefore, I'm not agitated about it because I think people are hurting themselves. I just want to free people up from feeling like they have to push water, consume water when they're not thirsty and find it unpleasant. I'd like to see them understand that that's something that they could choose to do or choose not to do and will not harm their health at all.
Dr. Stanley Goldfarb is professor of medicine at the Perelman School of Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania with a specialty in renal electrolyte and hypertension. Thank you so much for your expertise and for setting the record straight.
Okay, thank you.
For more information on drinking water and Dr. Goldfarb, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org. If you've missed a past interview or you'd like to hear one again, podcasts of our show are also available at our website and on iTunes.
Coming up, they may already be in your refrigerator or on your pantry shelves. 7 superfoods that pack a nutritional punch. Find out why you should be eating them at least once a week. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.